the program today. My name is Keith Smith. I'm an instructor at Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School in La Mirada, and we're glad you've joined us here at Solid Ground. And today we'll be concluding this week's message, which is a verse-by-verse study through Joshua chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, entitled The Power of God. So let's join Pastor Brian Parrish as he concludes this week's study from the pulpit of Calvary Chapel, La Mirada.
Let's look at a couple other passages of Scripture. We'll look at two or three more, and that's where we'll finish today. Turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I want to, these three passages also speak about the victory that is ours in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse 12. It says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Paul says, I'm not going to allow anything in my life to bring me under its power or influence. And he's talking about liberties that he has in Christ. And he says, sometimes those liberties lead towards bondage. Something that may, on the surface, appear to be good and acceptable, it's a non-moral thing, it can eventually lead to something that now has me enslaved. And Paul says, I'm not going to allow that to happen. He wants to have things in his life that are going to edify and build up. That seems to be the heart and mindset of Paul. But either way, he says he doesn't want anything to bring it, he's not going to be brought under the power of anything. Now, one of the things that I see as a concern is, as a liberty that we have in Christ, is just some of the things that we would use for entertainment. And I think the movies is one of those. And to tell you, I love going to the movies. I love watching a good movie. If it's clean, I'll go and see it. And oftentimes I'll wait for someone to recommend it and say, you know, what was there? Because I don't want to be caught at a movie that's filled with junk and someone from church or the neighborhood or someone visited the church here, has seen. Or plus, I just want to be watching that. But I love to watch movies. And I'll go and bring my family, and I've also walked out of a number of movies as well. Because when there's certain things that are going on, I don't want that sown into my heart or mind. It's not something I want to partake in. And I've just noticed over the last few years something that's happened that I think just need to consider and think about. A lot of the movies, you know, they have ratings. And who gives these ratings? It's definitely not a set of pastors or ministers putting this rating on these things. So, you know, a lot of times I choose not to, some of the movies I go to, I say it's for the kids, like Chicken Run, but I actually enjoyed that one. I brought the kids to see that, and, you know, they all go to PG movies, but even sometimes PG movies are kind of foul, and I'll have to leave. And now PG-13, it's like you're taking your chance. And do you really want to go in somewhere where they're going to show nudity and a bunch of foul language and adultery and sit there and that's enjoyment? Now, as a pastor, I can't say we're going to put this list out of what movies you can and can't see, the Calvary Chapel list. Here's the ones you can and here's the ones you can't, because your eyes are going to immediately go down to the ones that you can't see and you're going to want to go see those, right? That's human nature. So legalism isn't the trick. Paul says there's certain things that are lawful, but it's not going to be helpful, so I'm going to make sure I'm not going to be brought under bondage to anything. But what has happened over the last few years, the PG-13 movies, now that are rated PG-13, many of those were R-rated movies when I was a kid. Now the R-rated movies are getting more and more pornographic, more and more violent, more and more vulgar, and we have Christians just kind of sliding with that. And here's how bad it's gotten, and I've mentioned this before. I've had people from my own church come and tell me, oh, yeah, this was a good movie, you should go see it. It only had three cuss words and two nude scenes, but other than that, it was a good movie. And I'm like, something's wrong. Something's wrong with this picture. How could someone recommend to their pastor to go watch something that has nudity in it and foul language? You see what I'm saying, where there's been a desensitizing in the body of Christ? And I remember when I was going to Biola University, they would put the list of the movies that were in the area, and they'd get these little surveys of them. A description of it. And I thought, why are they recommending to me as a future minister of the gospel, I'm going to school to prepare to be a pastor, why are they giving me this account of this R-rated movie and kind of encouraging me to go see it? So I thought, something's not right here. Something's just not quite square. And again, I can't be on some big legalistic crusade. I'll go to the movies, but also I'll walk out if there's junk that's in there. Because I know that whatever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. And if you're having problem with vain imaginations in your heart of lust or of anger, and you're sitting in movies watching these things, where is it coming from? Now again, there's no law, don't go to movies. Sometimes you just need to get up and walk out. So you spent $200 to go to the movies, just get out of there. $10 to get in and the rest on popcorn, and that's so expensive. But you're not to be prod under the power of any, and those are seeds that are being sown in. Same with TV. TV's getting more and more vulgar, and cuss words are coming on these things, and they show adulterous situations. I mean, think about it. There's got to be some sort of impact. You're as a Christian, and you're watching an adulterous situation, and that's entertainment. Isn't there something that's kind of desensitizing you to a true affair in your own life, adultery in your own life? You've kind of seen it on TV, and there should be like, we want to expose the works of darkness, not just kind of affirm them by doing nothing and watching it. And same with your kids, same with my kids. I want to protect them from some of this junk. I want to set a standard. You know, for me, my life, I'm not trying to go to the lowest rung of Christianity. What's acceptable, just barely acceptable in God's eyes. I want to do everything that would glorify Him. And that should be what's coming out of the hearts. And some of these liberties that we have in our society, they have an influence over our heart and minds. I mean, we're growing up with a society that's not shocked by anything any longer. I mean, if you have a trouble with anger and you're sitting in front of these, you know, blow up people, kill them, death movies, what do you think's going to happen? That's drawing an influence. That's a seed that's being sown. And again, I'm not going to legalistically say, don't ever go to the movies. Don't ever. That's not the heart of it. The heart of it is you saying, I want to walk in the things of God. I don't want anything to influence my life. I have the authority and the power to be able to discern that. Go with me over to Colossians chapter 2. The other area that we've been freed from is the power of the devil. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. And here he's speaking about the cross of Jesus Christ. He says, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Speaking of the cross, it says he disarmed principalities and powers. You know that old saying that people say, well, the devil made me do it? Well, we know as believers, that's far from the truth. Here it says Satan and his forces, they have been disarmed. They had weapons against us before we were saved that they were able to use on us, but now they don't. Those weapons have been taken out of their hands. And what he means by this is that Satan and his forces cannot make you do anything. He works through deception, he works through deceit, he works through the temptation, but he cannot overcome you. And well, I did that because the devil's influence. If you've opened up your life to the influence of the devil, yeah, there's going to be deception, there'll be sin, there'll be bondage, but he didn't make you do those things. We give him power when we are deceived by his temptations and seducing thoughts and false teaching. But the power of the devil has been stripped. And greater is he that's in us than he that's in this world. See, all of our excuses are being stripped away. You can't use your family because you're no longer really united to your family. You're united to Christ. You're a new creation. That's where all the source comes from. The Word of God proclaims victory. It's given to us in Christ for all those who have died with the Lord and have been raised with Him. Let's look at one other passage of Scripture. Typically, people will summarize our opposition as the world, the flesh, and the devil. Well, Colossians 2 takes care of the devil. Romans chapter 6 takes care of the flesh, the old man. And now 1 John chapter 5 will take care of the world. Look at verse 4. 1 John 5, 4. For whatever is born of God, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Because we're in Christ, we are overcomers. And that is given to us in Christ Jesus. That's simply our faith in Him, because He is the one that's overcome. And we put our faith and trust in the Son of God. So basically what the Bible teaches is anything that is any power or resistance that comes against our life, God has given us something that is superior to overcome that opposition. And so that strips us of all of our excuses if we are habitually committing some sin. The Bible says we're no longer slave to that. And again, what happens, the more you commit that sin, the deeper and the stronger the bondage comes, but also the deeper and stronger the deception comes. And that deception comes in the form of, there's no freedom here. You know, I'll just have to wait till I get to heaven. Or probably a lot of other Christians are doing the same thing. Or this isn't that bad. And we make these excuses. That is deception. That's what sin does. Sin leads towards greater deception. And it just starts with one small compromise. What we need to do is take a look and say, here's my life. Here's what the Word of God says. Are they matching up? Or am I in bondage, but yet the Word of God's proclaiming that I've been freed from those bondages? Then we need to say, I've messed up. I need to repent. I need to get right with the Lord. And I need to use all the resources of heaven to walk in the things that God has given to us. And the difficulty that we add to our life when we get into a bondage, those are the bondages that want to keep coming back into our life, don't they? So even once refreed from those bondages, it's not just a done deal. Now, Satan, as well as his flesh, has these addictions or desires that have been increased. It is a warfare and a conflict that has now been stirred up within your life. That's why the Bible says be naive towards what is evil. The best route, honestly, if you could be raised from a young child all the way into things of the Lord, naive towards sin, not tasting what this world has to offer, that is the greatest life to lead. Not someone that's went into the world. That's when those bondages come and we have to be freed from them. Be naive towards what is evil. That's what the Scripture would tell us. Say, you should have told me that 20 years ago. But even if that is not the case, there is power and victory in identifying yourself with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and knowing this to be true, that I am no longer a slave to sin. And then taking that by faith and bringing that on a day-by-day basis to the battles that we face. And I know, just like you as well, you get tired, grow weary in the battle. You know, the battle gets tough and intense, and it would be nice if it was just over, everything was just calm. But the Lord says, as you wait upon the Lord, He'll renew your strength. This can only come through the ongoing dependence upon the power of God. Again, that's what Paul means by if you would walk in the Spirit, you would not carry out the desires of the flesh. And I know it's so easy to quote, very difficult to live out, but there's no excuse for bondage. There's freedom in Christ Jesus. And this study stirs up something in your heart. We want to pray for you. We especially want to pray for you on Wednesday, as I believe the Lord is stirring our hearts towards that. And the power of God, I believe, will show up to touch people's lives and to see us continue to walk in the things of the Lord.